Today is the 23rd day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today as we bring in for a landing, a nice, smooth landing, another one of our weeks together, and do what we do, come together, huddle up, and reflect back. We had a brand new, shiny, sparkly week, and we just lived it. How did it go? What were the highs? What were the lows? What are going to be the things that you remember? Like, what are the memories that get carried forward? Because of all the things, all of the sensory input of our lives, we remember so little of what happens in our life. What's going to stick? What do we need to really get serious about? Work on? What are we in a good season in? There's just so much to think about, to be grateful for, but also to just acknowledge that we're all so struggling, and there's pain in life and brokenness and brokenness in us and brokenness in others, and sometimes when it touches each other, there's brokenness there. So, yeah, look back over the week, because this little rhythm of starting a brand new week and having intentions and then reflecting back on them, this makes us self-aware. This makes us pay attention to kind of where we gravitate and where we go without even knowing why, and the impact on ourselves and on those around us. So yeah. Anyway, grateful to be here with you, reflecting back on the week and taking the next step forward in the scriptures, which puts us back into 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 through 3, verse 39. Abner, son of Ner, together with the men of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, left Mahanaim and went to Gibeon. Joab, son of Zeruiah, and David's men went out and met them at the pool of Gibeon. One group sat down on one side of the pool and one group on the other side. Then Abner said to Joab, "Let's have some of the young men get up and fight hand to hand in front of us." "All right, let them do it," Joab said. So they stood up and were counted off, 12 men for Benjamin and Ishbosheth, son of Saul, and 12 for David. Then each man grabbed his opponent by the head and thrust his dagger into his opponent's side, and they fell down together. So that place in Gibeon was called Helkath Hatzurim. The battle that day was very fierce, and Abner and the Israelites were defeated by David's men. The three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asael. Now Asael was as fleet-footed as a wild gazelle. He chased Abner, turning neither to the right nor to the left as he pursued him. Abner looked behind him and asked, "Is that you, Asael?" "It is," he answered. Then Abner said to him, "Turn aside to the right or to the left. Take on one of the young men and strip him of his weapons." But Asael would not stop chasing him. Again, Abner warned Asael, "Stop chasing me. Why should I strike you down? How could I look your brother Joab in the face?" But Asael refused to give up the pursuit. So Abner thrust the butt of his spear into Asael's stomach, and the spear came out through his back. He fell there and died on the spot. And every man stopped when he came to the place where Asael had fallen and died. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner, and as the sun was setting, they came to the hill of Ammah near Gia on the way to the wasteland of Gibeon. And the men of Benjamin rallied behind Abner. They formed themselves into a group and took their stand on top of a hill. Abner called out to Joab, "Must the sword devour forever? Don't you realize that this will end in bitterness? How long before you order your men to stop pursuing their fellow Israelites?" Joab answered, "As surely as God lives, if you had not spoken, the men would have continued pursuing them until morning." So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the troops came to a halt. They no longer pursued Israel, nor did they fight anymore. All that night, Abner and his men marched through the Arabah. They crossed the Jordan, continued through the morning hours, and came to Mahanaim. Then Joab stopped pursuing Abner and assembled the whole army. Besides Asahel, 19 of David's men were found missing. But David's men had killed 360 Benjaminites who were with Abner. They took Asahel and buried him in his father's tomb at Bethlehem. Then Joab and his men marched all night and arrived at Hebron by daybreak. The war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time. David grew stronger and stronger, while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon, the son of Ahinoam of Jezreel. His second, Caleb, the son of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggit. The fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth, Ithream, the son of David's wife Iglah. These were born to David in Hebron. During the war between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner had been strengthening his own position in the house of Saul. Now Saul had a concubine named Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why did you sleep with my father's concubine?" Abner was very angry because of what Ishbosheth said, so he answered, "Am I a dog's head on Judah's side? This very day I am loyal to the house of your father Saul and to his family and friends. I haven't handed you over to David, yet now you accuse me of an offense involving this woman. May God deal with Abner, be it ever so severely, if I do not do for David what the Lord promised him on oath, and transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, and establish David's throne over Israel and Judah, from Dan to Beersheba." Ishbosheth did not dare to say another word to Abner because he was afraid of him. Then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to say to David, "Whose land is it? Make an agreement with me, and I will help you bring all Israel over to you." "Good," said David. "I will make an agreement with you, but I demand one thing of you. Do not come into my presence unless you bring Michal, daughter of Saul, when you come to see me." Then David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, son of Saul, demanding, "Give me my wife Michal, whom I betrothed to myself for the price of 100 Philistine foreskins." So Ishbosheth gave orders and had her taken away from her husband Paltiel, son of Laish. Her husband, however, went with her, weeping behind her all the way to Bahurim. Then Abner said to him, "Go back home." So he went back. Abner conferred with the elders of Israel and said, "For some time you have wanted to make David your king. Now do it. For the Lord promised David, 'By my servant David, I will rescue my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies.'" Abner also spoke to the Benjamites in person. Then he went to Hebron to tell David everything that Israel and the whole tribe of Benjamin wanted to do. When Abner, who had 20 men with him, came to David at Hebron, David prepared a feast for him and his men, Then Abner said to David, "Let me go at once and assemble all Israel for my lord the king, so that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may rule over all that your heart desires." So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Just then David's men and Joab returned from a raid and brought with them a great deal of plunder. But Abner was no longer with David in Hebron, because David had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the soldiers with him arrived, he was told that Abner, son of Ner, had come to the king, and that the king had sent him away, and that he had gone in peace. So Joab went to the king and said, "What have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why did you let him go? Now he is gone. You know Abner, son of Ner. He came to deceive you and observe your movements and find out everything you are doing." Joab then left David and sent messengers after Abner, and they brought him back from the cistern at Sirah. But David did not know it. Now when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into an inner chamber as if to speak with him privately. And there, to avenge the blood of his brother Asahel, Joab stabbed him in the stomach, and he died. Later, when David heard about this, he said, "I and my kingdom are forever innocent before the Lord concerning the blood of Abner, son of Ner. May his blood fall on the head of Joab and on his whole family. May Joab's family never be without someone who has a running sore or leprosy, or who leans on a crutch, or who falls by the sword, or who lacks food." Joab and his brother Abishai murdered Abner because he had killed their brother Asahel in the battle at Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and all the people with him, "Tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and walk in mourning in front of Abner." King David himself walked behind the bier. They buried Abner in Hebron, and the king wept aloud at Abner's tomb. All the people wept also. The king sang this lament for Abner: "Should Abner have died as the lawless die? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not fettered. You fell as one falls before the wicked." And all the people wept over him again. Then they all came and urged David to eat something while it was still day. But David took an oath, saying, "May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if I taste bread or anything else before the sun sets." All the people took note and were pleased. Indeed, everything the king did pleased them. So on that day, all the people there and all Israel knew that the king had no part in the murder of Abner, son of Ner. Then the king said to his men, "Do you not realize that a commander and a great man has fallen in Israel this day? And today, though I am the anointed king, I am weak, and these sons of Zeruiah are too strong for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil deeds." John 13, 1 through 30. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "Now," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival, or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Psalm 119, 1 through 16. Aleph. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Bet. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Proverbs 15, 29 and 30. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for bringing us through another week. Oh, you have brought us by your mighty hand through so much, and we are here. The fact that we are here is your mercy and grace in our lives, and we are grateful to be here at the conclusion of another week. And as we release it into our history, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to bring to mind the things that we need to carry forward, the lessons learned, the memories, the things that are important. Help us to take some time and maybe even write them down so that we don't forget, so that we can see your hand as we change and transform. Holy Spirit, lead us forward into all truth. Lead us on the narrow path leads to life. Lead us deeper into Jesus, we ask in his name. Amen.
Hey Dad family, this is Kristen, aka Christ in Me, and I wanted to lift up Francis, who is going by Princess, to the Lord and to you all for prayer. Princess, I understand your grief. I understand what you're going through. And the Lord has, the Lord has given us grief for a reason. It's a season and a time that we must go through. We do need to go ahead and let ourselves feel it. And that's part of the healing from it. But you've come to a point where you feel like you need to start healing from it so that you can go on with your life, and I promise you that there is joy if you just trust in the Lord. Father God, we just thank you for our sister, Princess, and we just come before you, Lord, to your throne room of grace, and we just ask you that you would just give her healing in her grief, or that she could come to the point in her life where you give her beauty for the ashes that she's feeling, and that she would be able to dance again and feel the joy of abiding in you. So Lord, we just ask that you would just give her comfort, give her peace, wrap her up in your wings, give her that peace that surpasses all understanding, and show her a way to come to the healing from this time of grief. We thank you for everything that you're doing in Francis's life. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. Amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Curtis in the Commonwealth. I'm happy to report your prayers were answered today with my wife's reconstruction surgery after breast cancer, and although it took almost 9 hours, and it's a long recovery ahead that we still need to remember to pray for, she's doing well, resting, and I'm very thankful for that. Please continue to pray for us and our family. as I still am trying to reconcile with her and repair the damage I've done. Thank you for praying, and thank you all the Daily Audio Bible people, maybe Doctor, everybody, for your prayers. Please don't stop now.
Hello, this is Debbie from New York. This prayer is for a woman calling from Indonesia. I couldn't get your name. But my heart and soul are so with you. And I'm praying that for our Jehovah Rapha, our provider, God would equip and sustain you as you go through this legal battle. And we know that you've changed your lifestyle. You've left a very high-paying job to start your own business, which somehow isn't cutting it, and you're trying to apply for a regular 9-to-5 job. Lord, you know the situation from beginning to end. We ask that you would open the doors for this precious daughter of yours. Help her to hold on to her house and to be able to acquire a new position, a new job, so that she can stay where she is and afford it. And thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you so much. And we just thank you in Jesus' precious name.
Good morning. It's your Eyes of a Dove. Oh, I'm rounding to the final week of this job that has wreaked havoc on my body, you guys. And the first time in my life, I'm actually going to ask them to let me go. My first time ever. And trust the Lord and lean on my husband and work with my husband and his company. The thought terrifies me, but it's so good for my marriage to lean and be close to my husband and work with him on his business. He needs me, and I need my husband. But also, just the physical results of this, the stress of this job, I have several large bald spots that I'm able to cover, but my hair is falling out, and my fillings in my two teeth fell out and ground my teeth down severely in the last 6 months, and now I'm experiencing what seemed like strokes, but they're actually panic attacks where my chest tightens up and it feels like a sunburn and pain shooting down my arm. Although I had an echocardiogram and I have a perfect heart, I'm having panic attacks. Left this morning with one earring in my ear and just frazzled. Going into a 5-day weekend, doing a couple doctor's appointments to document all this stuff for my employer next week. I'm just asking for you guys to lift up your eyes of a dove, that God would show me a way to de-escalate and disrobe all these things that I've put on myself that has caused these physical stress breakdowns on my body. And the Lord would help me trust and process and move forward with my husband in a very healthy way to support him and his business and to flourish and grow as a married couple and Christ followers. Love you guys. Thank you for your prayers. Bye-bye.
This is Lori in New Hampshire offering prayer for Frances, aka Princess. Heavenly Father, today we lift up Princess before you with tender hearts. You see every ache she carries and every silent moment where grief rises again, especially as this anniversary brings back the deep pain of losing her husband 2 years ago. Lord, you know how love does not disappear when someone is gone, and neither does the longing. Father, remind her that you never asked her to hide her tears. Your word shows us that even Jesus wept. So let Princess know that crying is not weakness, but love expressed through sorrow. Hold her close in the moments when memories feel overwhelming, and give her freedom to grieve honestly before you. Catch every tear and let her feel your comforting presence beside her. Lord, in the mystery of pain and suffering, we do not always understand why loss comes the way it does. But we thank you. Suffering is not the end of the story for those who hope in Jesus Christ. In the middle of heartbreak, plant deep within her the hope that death does not have the final word. Remind her that Jesus is near to the brokenhearted. Surround her now with people who will love her gently, listen patiently, and walk with her through grief. Let peace settle over her heart little by little. Where there is heaviness, bring comfort. Where there is loneliness, bring your nearness. Where there is despair, breathe fresh hope. May Princess always remember that she is deeply loved by you, held by your mercy, and never abandoned in her suffering. In the compassionate and healing name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Hello, this is Michelle from New Jersey. This is my first time calling in. I'm calling for Frances, who's going by Princess, from the May 21st calls. Frances, I'm praying for you, and I'm so sorry that you've lost your husband. I lost my husband 11 years ago. My anniversary was on May 19th, and we would have been married for 40 years. It's hard, and it's okay to cry. It really is. It's okay to miss them. I pray that God gives you peace and you feel the comfort of Jesus as you try and you struggle through this very difficult time. Thank you.